All right, Earl, do you want to do like an intro?
Sure.
We're here with...
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Ready to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Welcome to the Sports Parent Podcast, where we talk about sports and parenting and the intersection between sports and parenting. Hosted by best-selling author Jeff Perlman.
And Catherine Perlman, future best-selling author and also known as the family coach. I just threw that in just for you.
I like the ring of that.
So we're back after how long of a hiatus?
Quite a long time.
We're better than ever. We have a brand new format. We're going four segments. Our first segment, general sports parenting topic. Our second segment, what's on your mind? Third segment, real life parenting, and the fourth segment, old reliable, the 1 minute debate.
All right, so let's get started. So we're supposed to do a general sports parenting topic, but I think this next topic can be related to sports, and it's definitely about parenting. So it's about the Penn State fraternity hazing death. 18 fraternity students were charged in the death of 19-year-old Penn State student Timothy Piazza. They had a gauntlet night of drinking for their pledges. Timothy fell down the stairs and became unconscious. And then for the next 12 hours, the pledges and the brothers moved him from place to place and walked over him. At one point, they put him on a couch and they were afraid he was going to roll off the couch. So they put down like a backpack filled with books to kind of like weight him down. At one point, one of the pledges thought they should call 911 and he was kind of yelled at that they shouldn't do it. Eight were charged with involuntary manslaughter. There was also like hazing, aggravated and simple assault, alcohol-related violations, and then there was evidence tampering because after the fact, there was a lot of like deleting of texts and things like that. And it's come to light that Penn State Greek community nurtured an environment so permissive of excessive drinking and hazing that it emboldened its members to repeatedly act with reckless disregard for human life. I'm reading that from an article. So before I say anything, what are your thoughts on that?
I feel like you didn't do it justice. I actually think if you read the blow-by-blow account of that evening, it is so horrific and such a complete and total indifference for just a guy's life that you wonder, like, I get, like, I was never in a fraternity. You were in a sorority. We've talked about this. I get sort of the rituals. I get sort of drink. Oh, we're going to get them all drunk. I mean, I'm not a fan of it. But
I don't agree with
that. No, right. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying I understand it. What happened here of people walking over him, people ignoring him, remember they threw water on him at one point. Oh. They kicked him at one point. Someone punched him in the stomach at one point. They treated him like a dog.
There was
like
absolutely no empathy, no sense of, oh my gosh, this could be serious.
None
whatsoever. And unluckily, it was caught on video. So the fraternity house had a video camera, which basically showed all of this. Otherwise, we would never know. The kid would just be dead. But it is horrifying. And for me, this kid was alive for 12 hours. Like, had someone acted responsibly, this kid would be alive. My whole issue is the whole, like, culture of hazing. And I think this is where it does relate to sports, where it's this mentality, like, I had to go through it. And somehow it makes us closer if you have to go through it. And then, you know, like to me, nothing is less like a brotherhood or a sisterhood than abusing one of your brothers and then calling it like family. You know, like that's just wrong.
In fact, let's not even relate it to sports, right? To me, the sports tie, it's almost like it doesn't matter in this case. Like, what do you think should happen? Like, to me, it's so heinous that I feel like if their lives are ruined because of this, and this guy died, it makes me sad to see young lives ruined, but I think I'm in a way okay with it. Like, I just think this was so horrible and so disturbing and so the callousness. I guess I don't want their lives ruined. I want to see that they pay for it. I do think they deserve to pay for it. And I want them to suffer for what they did, at least emotionally. I want them to be burdened.
I'm sure they're going to suffer, but not because this kid is dead. They're going to suffer because, oh my God, like my life is over. Look what's happened.
But I want them to suffer where it's like, I can't believe what we did to this kid. Like, who was I that I did this? I want all these kids to wake up at some point and be like, I cannot believe that I was responsible.
What if you're the parent?
Ugh. I mean, I don't even know. Can you find, some people are able to find forgiveness eventually.
I've told our kids this, like actually kind of recently. No matter what they did, no matter what terrible thing they did, I would still love them and be there for them. I would tell them what you did is terrible and I will help you through it and I will be here and I will support you. But I think, is there something that went wrong? along the way in parenting that this happened? Like, or do you think this is the system of fraternity and hazing? Like, is there, are parents preparing their kids? Like, you should be calling 911. Like, if you see an emergency, like, screw who you might get in trouble. Like, you call 911. Or, like, the basic decency of empathy. If somebody's sick, you take care of them.
I think it's a lot bigger than that. I really do. I think you can look at a million different examples, from really big and maybe inappropriate examples like Nazi Germany to a Trump rally where people are screaming at the media. I feel like when we get in a group setting and we get angry and emotions are flying, or this is an emotion, or whatever the emotions are, right? We're getting drunk and we're in charge and you're the pledges and blah, blah, blah. And we're going to whatever. Like, there's something about humanity that gets lost in the bigness of moments. You know, I really do feel this way. And I think, like, these guys are all getting caught up in, they're the big frat brothers and these are the little guys who they can beat the crap out of.
It's not just moment. It's also like the tradition. Like, sure. This is tradition. This is what we do. This is how we welcome people into the fraternity.
Let me ask you this. We'll make it parenting here. How do you feel about one of our kids joining a frat or a sorority when they go to college?
I think it really depends where and what they do.
What's your instinctive feeling of it?
My instinctive feeling is that I'd personally rather them go to a college where it wasn't emphasized. Like, I don't care if they're in it or not. But, like, at a place like Penn State, at a place like Bucknell, where, like, Greek life is everything, there was... If you weren't in a sport or you weren't in Greek life at Bucknell, like, there really wasn't as much to do. Right. So I'd rather them go to a college where, like, where you were, where they didn't have, you know, there were so many other things to do. Like, Penn State is in the middle of nowhere.
You know, I was editor of my student newspaper.
So I heard.
The Review.
Anyway, I think the whole thing is horrifying. The blow by blow, I agree, is horrifying. I wonder where the parenting aspect, and I'm sure so much more will come out, but...
These kids are going to do serious jail time, correct?
I think likely, only because it wasn't like they got in a car and were drunk and killed somebody. They would do less time for that. Here, there were many, many, many opportunities for many of them to intervene, and they didn't. So, but I don't know. I think there is a note to parents. So when you have a high school kid or you have a college kid and you're sending your kid off, like, there are certain conversations that you do have to have. Like, you're in a fraternity, your parent needs to sit you down and say, I'm just telling you this now, just like I told you, you shouldn't get in a car, just like I told you, whatever. Like, I'm telling you, if you see someone in trouble, you see someone, you know, getting raped or, you know, something like too much drinking, like, you need to intervene. Like,
yeah.
That's our responsibility.
Also, I think it's important to say, teach your kids, and we've definitely talked to our kids about it. I don't know if it sinks in or not, but stand up for people. Don't be afraid to stand up for people. Sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But, I mean, this is a perfect example. This kid needed someone. This kid needed someone to go outside and call 911 on his cell phone and be like, I'm at this place. This is going on. This is horrible.
Right. Like, nobody snuck off and actually decided to.
How did not one guy there go outside and call 911 and say, this is BS. What's going on right now? I need to call 911. No one. What a bunch of cowards. Seriously. Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, so on that note.
Want to go lighter?
What's on your mind?
Let's go lighter. So this almost has nothing to do with anything, but I love it so much. I'm reading a biography of Babe Ruth right now called Babe by Richard Kramer. It came out in 1974. And I'm reading, and all of a sudden I read this little note about a teammate Babe Ruth had named Ping Bodie.
You love that name, don't you?
Don't you?
Sure.
Yeah. And it wasn't his real name, but he had a long Italian name, but his nickname was Ping. So Ping Bodie. April 4th, 1919. Ping Bodie was an outfielder with the New York Yankees. And he, during spring training in Jacksonville, Florida, Ping Bodie challenged Percy the Ostrich, who was like Jacksonville's famous sort of entity at that point, and was considered the greatest eater in the world, to an eating contest. And everyone laughed. They said, Ping Bodie, there's no way you're going to be able to out-eat this ostrich. And they let Ping Bodie pick the food of choice. And Ping Bodie picked spaghetti.
What do ostriches eat? Like vegetables?
I don't think they eat spaghetti. I don't think they eat spaghetti. But it was I love this. It was sponsored by the Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce. They actually promoted the event. But they didn't tell the federal government because they worried that it would be viewed as cruelty toward animals.
Well, then that's a bad sign. Like,
so it's Ping Bodie, Yankee outfielder. And if you see, we'll try to put a picture on the website, but he's this burly guy versus the ostrich. And they went round by round. So they would do a round, eat, take a minute rest, come back out. And they put bowls of spaghetti out. And Ping Bodie and the ostrich went 10 rounds And in the 11th round, the ostrich comes waddling out, and it said his eyes were bloodshot. Wait, this is from, literally from the New York Tribune, 1919. The ostrich barely waddled from his corner. Percy's eyes were bloodshot, and his sides were heaving as he towed his platter. He was a badly beaten ostrich. Bodie was almost finished with his platter when Percy dropped to his knees. The timekeeper began to count. Bodie ferociously downed the last morsel and stepped back to survey his fallen antagonist. The ostrich actually died on the ground. And the quote from Ping Bodie afterwards was, "Gosh, spaghetti makes you hungry. Have the ostrich cooked for me, will you?"
That's gross. I have to say, I think the whole concept of eating contests is revolting.
You don't like the Nathan's hot dog thing?
No, there's something so gross about it, and then they always end up getting sick afterwards. It's
you don't deal well with throwing up.
No, I try not to even say the words.
In fact, can we say in our marriage? I mean, you have some amazing strong points that I don't have. Throwing up.
Yeah, the kids say that they don't feel well. My first thought is, Earl, are you going to throw up? No. First, I'm like, oh, you don't feel well? What's wrong? Are you going to throw up? And then they're like, no. I'm like, okay, I'm good. If they're like, yeah, I don't feel well, I'm like, Earl? Yeah, I get you right.
I remember one time where I was.
Let's not.
It was milky.
Oh, Earl, please.
Sorry. All right, what's next, Earl?
All right. Well, thank you for that. So do you know about 13 Reasons Why?
I know that Casey watched it, and I know that you watched it.
Yeah. So it was a book, and now it's a series on Netflix, and it's basically about a girl who commits suicide but leaves behind these cassette tapes that she pre-recorded of the 13 reasons why she killed herself. And all these people in her school, in her town, or whatever, are in the tapes. And Casey and I read the book, and she started watching the show, and so I started watching the show. And there's so much being written about why it's not good for kids, how you should talk to your kids, what's bad about the show, how you can help them understand about suicide. But that's not even what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is the fact that parents who even have a strong feeling about whether or not their kids should watch this have absolutely zero control whether or not their kids watch this. Meaning,
why do you say that?
Because even if your kid is 12 and doesn't have a Netflix password, or maybe doesn't even have a cell phone, as soon as the kid is on the bus, some other kid has a cell phone. Some other kid has access to anything they want on, you know, Netflix or on YouTube or whatever. You know, I just even know for our daughter, I'll say it another way. When we were growing up, if we wanted to read something kind of racy, we had to go to the library. We had to check out Judy Blume's, like, Forever, come to page, like, 133 and read, like, the one passage about sex. Now, kids literally have to Google oral sex, and they can literally see it, not only read about it.
Right.
So I just think that even if you, in your house, you have careful protections, you have things blocking your internet, there's no way to prevent your kids. So for me, it's more about a harm reduction model, meaning, you know, they're going to do it. How can I minimize the harm for them? You know, how do you talk to your what?
Thing is, you're basically saying don't put any boundaries on your kids. So I can't say to my kid, you're not allowed to watch so-and-so.
Sure. And then you know what she's going
to
do?
I'm saying I cannot say to my kids, I don't want you watching 13 Reasons Why.
You can say whatever you want. And then as soon as she gets on the bus, she's going to be, has anybody watched 13 Reasons Why? My dad said I can't watch it. Can I watch yours?
So you feel like you just can't trust your kids about anything?
No, it's
like
not.
Like your kid, you might as well not tell your kids. Trust.
As soon as you say you shouldn't watch that, wouldn't that pique your interest? Your mom's like, whatever you do, don't look in the trunk.
Yeah, but does that mean my kids are just never going to listen to me? I'm being serious about that. So you're saying your kids, if you give your kids instructions, you say, I don't want you, blah, 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 I don't want you doing that, your kids are just never going to listen to you, so you might as well not give any instructions.
There's this show, 13 Reasons Why. I think that there's several things that you might not be ready for, and once you watch it, you can't take it back, and, you know, I'm not sure that you want to go there, like a scary movie, the same way you prepare your kid, like, I'm not sure you're ready for this. But ultimately, there's no way I can stop her from watching it. And as soon as you say, like, don't watch it.
I will say something we do that is different than most parents I know. We've exposed our kids to a lot of stuff that I feel like a lot of parents would be like, I don't know. For example, hip hop with language.
A lot of parents do that.
A lot of parents do not.
Okay, but a lot do.
But a lot don't. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to pat us on the back. What I'm saying is, wait, why are you making that face?
I don't think that's such a big...
Really?
Yeah.
You think a lot of parents are okay with a 9-year-old boy listening to the unfiltered version of...
Well, I don't love that our kid is listening to the unfiltered version. That's all you.
Yeah, but I feel like... How many times have you heard our son curse?
None.
Yeah, because I actually feel like it's something about exposure.
No, I think that our kids know they're not supposed to curse. And it's not a matter of... They know the words. He knew the words before he heard the songs.
I don't know about that.
They know the words.
I don't know.
All right, let's move on.
So the sport, we have an ad. We have a sponsor, very good sponsor, Sports Parent, sponsored by B2 Design. B2 Design takes pride in planning, strategizing, organizing your online content to make sure your message is clear and concise. B2 Design works with clients of all sizes. The family coach used B2 Design to create her website and logo, which is brand new and kicking some ass.
Thank you.
Yep. And my website, which isn't brand new, but also kicks some ass, was also designed by B2 Design. For more information on building a beautiful new website or updating an old one, get in touch with Brant Beaupre at Brant, B-R-A-N-T, at B-T-W-O, design.net. I just want to say, for the record, we're also sitting in our closet.
Yes, we are.
As we do every week.
Okay, so let's do a little real-life parenting. I kind of backed you into the corner on this next one.
I'm good with it, though. So, you bought me a book to share with Emmett.
Yes, it's called It's Perfectly Normal.
And it's about sex and kids and your body. And not really about sex.
And
yeah. And there's a lot of pictures of naked people.
They're
illustrations. Tons. Illustrations.
Yeah. Cartoons.
Yeah, and I actually said to you, do you not think he's a tiny bit young here? I mean, he's 10. And you're saying, no, tell me why.
He's definitely not young. First of all, some of the kids his age are starting puberty.
Yeah, there's some mustaches coming.
One of his friends is changing. And so he should know that. Also in school, they're going to start talking about health and puberty and all that. And so I think he's going to learn about it. And I mean, it's not like you should just like suddenly have a conversation one day. I mean, I think you kind of have conversations over time. I don't think you have to read the whole book with him. But I do think I showed my class a video of, I forgot what country. I want to say it's like Holland, somewhere. I don't know. Netherlands, maybe, where they start teaching kids sex ed
yeah.
in kindergarten. Because
is that viewed as, are you saying that's a good thing?
Yeah, it's a good thing. They do it in an age-appropriate way, but like identifying parts of the body or...
I just want to say something.
Yeah.
Oh, can you not hear it?
No.
Oh, I screwed up. Forget it. I was going to play a little Brady Time for Change for you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, you're no, don't unplug.
Okay. I'll just say it. When it's time to change, you've got to...
Rearrange.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, I think you need to start now.
The thing I worry about, I'll tell you a few things I worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, that he's going to want to talk about it with classmates. Now, I know you're going to say, talk to him about not talking about it with classmates.
Okay, but also, how do you know other classmates aren't talking to him about
it? I don't. But that's speculation.
Older brothers.
I don't know. He would probably tell us, actually.
You don't, believe me, there's so much going on with our kids that we do not know.
I guess so. I mean, I guess I don't see much
back. He's going to middle school next year.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's going to be like men in school with him.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. It's probably time. And I have talked to him about I've talked to him about like the things about like it's okay to touch yourself, but you can't have other people touch, like little things like that, how babies are made, stuff like that. We have had those conversations. That's always fun. Uh-huh. It's actually not so bad. The truth of the matter is, I'm kind of saying that as a cliche. It's actually... I think parents make too big of a deal about this.
Well, and I also think, like, if you make it awkward and weird, it'll be awkward and weird. If you're just, like, totally normal about it and then it's normal.
I agree. I also think...
So do a good job.
I also think our daughter is a pretty good example of this. Like, she's very, at least I think, very comfortable about this stuff. And, like, as kind of... Because you did a really good job with her, I think she's very comfortable about sort of talking about these things. So I agree with you. The openness is good. So What do you got? Real life parenting.
Mine's super quick. It's really just that when the kids were little, we would put them to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock. And then we had like 2 to 3 hours after they went to bed to kind of clean up, to watch some TV, to be together.
Snuggle.
To work, like whatever it may.
Snuggle.
Whatever it was. Yeah. But as the kids get older, and I'm, as you can attest to, I'm a little bit strict about bedtime. Because I really think kids don't get enough sleep. But our kids are starting to go to bed 8:30, 9 o'clock, sometimes a little bit later, which means there's really not that much more time before bedtime for me to do anything, like, outside of the kids.
Okay.
That's all I want.
That's it?
Yeah.
So you're complaining?
Yeah.
You're just tired of being a parent?
No, I liked it. I love my kids, but I loved it when they went to bed 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then the rest of the evening was ours.
Yeah, but you're kind of like, Your philosophy, I would say, is I can ignore my kids. I don't mean this meanly. I mean this in a good way. Like, you're okay with your kids hanging around the house and you're upstairs reading.
What are you talking about? How often do I...
No. The kids you're taking this as a criticism. I'm saying it's an opposite. Like, you're sort of comfortable, I feel like, with better than I am, actually, with the kids being lazy around the house and you reading. Like, you don't have to be on top of them anymore as we used to when we were younger.
Yes, but I think you're kind of, like, putting that... painting that in a different light, but that isn't even what I'm saying.
It is what you're saying.
Okay.
No. Are we going to have our first on-air fight?
No. What I'm saying is that I liked when they could go to bed early and we still had a few hours to ourselves. It has nothing to do with whether or not I'm stressed out.
Well, if you just push back your bedtime a little bit, this wouldn't be an issue.
Okay.
You do go to bed very early.
Well, they have to get up at 6:30.
I know, that does suck.
I require a lot of sleep.
And next year it gets even worse.
All right, that was fun. How about we do the one-minute debate?
All right, you're going to go first today. So today's one-minute debate.
No, you go first.
All right, great. Today's one-minute debate is Michelle Obama, Catherine will be taking her cause, versus Laura Bush. I'll be taking her.
Why are you giggling, Earl? You're already
because I'm going to kill you. Okay, you ready? So I get 30 seconds, right?
Sure.
Ready, set, go. Here I go. Laura Bush was married to a complete and total turd, right? He was a doofus. He was a horrible president. Oh. And she was so dignified and so gracious and so graceful. She's a former librarian. She was super heavy into education. You know, she was into recruiting highly educated teachers. She spoke about education all the time. She talked about literacy programs. She was graceful. And Michelle Obama, she was married to a cool guy. Laura Bush was not, but she made being the first lady cool anyway. And I have so much respect for her. I'm done.
All right. That
ready?
Was that.
Set.
Yeah, can you turn it so
sure.
I can see?
Ready, set, go.
Okay, Michelle Obama. She's funny, classy. But she was human. She was the first lady that was like a human. She wore J. Crew sometimes. I mean, people love that. She was for girls, health, and military families. And the thing that I love the absolute most about Michelle Obama that I will never forget is her quote, which was, "When they go low, we go high." That is such an inspiration. That is honestly something I've thought about many, many times and that I will repeat to myself in the moment where I am at risk of going low, that when they go low, we don't go lower, we go high.
I do want to say one thing. And I think you'll agree with me. One thing I like about Laura Bush is she was very pro gay rights, married to a Republican. You know, like she was actually pretty outspoken about it, and she was very open minded.
She was classy and elegant.
Super classy and elegant.
Yes, I agree. All right. Okay, so tell us who won this debate. It was me. Tweet us at The Family Coach or at Jeff Pearlman. Use the hashtag TheSportsParent so we can see your comments. Find us on Facebook at Jeff Pearlman, and you can find Catherine at The Family Coach. We'll put the links and information about the topics we discussed on our show on our website, thesportsparentpodcast.com. Jeff's website is jeffperlman.com, and you can check out his amazing blog and take a look at The Quaz, which is Jeff's Q&A series.
You really think it's amazing?
Sure.
Thanks. And check out Catherine's website at thefamilycoach.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to The Sports Parent on iTunes so you don't miss an episode. We're back. And if you like our show, please, please, please go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a review if you can. It's very easy to do. You search for iTunes on The Sports Parent. You click on the podcast, not the individual episode. When it comes up, you should see details next to the logo. Next to the details, it should say reviews and ratings. Click that heading. Then add a comment or just give us a 5-star rating if you feel comfortable. We really need it. Also, if you have topics you would like us to discuss on the show, send us an email to Catherine at thefamilycoach.com. That's Catherine with a C. Audio production assistance from Andrew Perella. Music by MC Whiteout and Static Selecta. And until next week's episode of The Sports Parent, win or lose, take your kids for ice cream after the game.